Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9. Let's go to John chapter 9. This chapter is 41 verses long, and I'd like to cover the whole chapter, so I'm not going to read it, but I'll just give us a reminder that this chapter speaks of our Lord. It speaks of our Lord healing a man who was born blind. He does a gracious miracle for this man who was born blind. He gives him sight. And the people were amazed by this. And they asked him, "How did you receive your sight?" And he tells them that a man named Jesus, he made some clay and put it on my eyes and sent me to the pool of Siloam to wash. And I did. And I was able to see. And he comes back seeing. And he's brought to the Pharisees, and he bears a good witness, a good testimony to the Pharisees. And they doubted him and despised him. They reviled him because he spoke well of Christ. And all he did was speak the truth of what the Lord did for him. And he spoke honestly and sincerely, and the Pharisees hated him for it and cast him out. And the Lord heard this and came and spoke to the man and revealed more to that man. He gave him more light. He made him to see that he is the Christ. He's the Son of God, and that man believed and worshiped Christ. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. And so we see here that this is another example of how our Lord saves all his people by grace. It's by grace that we are saved. And we see here that the Lord chooses whom he will be gracious to, and he's gracious to them. And by the miracle of his grace, he gives sight to spiritually blind eyes, and he gives life to spiritually dead sinners. And he distinguishes this work of grace in his people from those that are left to themselves, just left in darkness, left in their sin. And we see that the natural man despises the grace of God, which he reveals in his Son Jesus Christ, whom he sent to save his people from their sins. And so we see here that the Lord, he begins a work, and he completes that work. He does all things necessary for his people. I've titled this message, Sight to the Blind. Sight to the Blind. And we begin here seeing the sovereignty of our God. Our Lord tells us in the scriptures that he is sovereign. He does as he pleases. Our God is the Lord over all. He's the Lord over all, and he does what pleases him. And so he saves whom he wills. And this is made clear in the scriptures. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we're told that we're brought to a knowledge of our salvation according as God hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That we would know that it's not because of anything we did, but it's because of our God's grace and compassion and mercy toward us. We're told in Ephesians 1:11 that we're in him in whom we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of God who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And our Lord is telling us there that we're not persuading him to do anything. We're not changing God's mind. Our God does all things according to the purpose and good pleasure of his will. And then in Romans 9, verse 13 through 15, we find that this is all according, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And so our God is sovereign, and he saves those whom he chose before the foundation of the world and put in Christ, gave us to Christ and put us in his care, so that everything necessary for our salvation, for our life, our preservation, is all in the Son, Jesus Christ. And so it is in our text that our Lord comes, and he sovereignly chooses to be gracious to this man, according to the purpose of God before the foundation of the world. And so we read now in verse 1, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And what the Lord is showing you, his people, is that there comes a time in God's purpose, in God's wisdom, when he passes by his people in order to be gracious to them, in order to do them good and to reveal himself to them. And it says that he saw a man. And that word saw means that he was looking at him intently. He was observing this man. He was watching this man. And I don't think it was for his own benefit. It wasn't for Christ's benefit. Christ knew this man. He knew who this man was and the purpose of God in grace toward this man. But as he's watching him, his disciples took notice of where he's looking, and they begin to look at this man as well. And we're told now in verses 2 and 3 that his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And understand that Christ isn't saying that this man and his parents were not sinners. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. We're all born of the corrupt seed of Adam. And we ourselves come forth speaking lies and committing sins and not knowing the truth of God. But what our Lord is making known is that this man's blindness, what happened to this man providentially, was not because of some sin in the man or his parents. And so you that are troubled, this should be a comfort to you. Right? We have a way of going back and people tell us things which are just based on superstition, and they try to trouble you and saying, "Oh, well, that trouble is coming upon you because of some evil that you've committed, something you've done, and that's why this is happening to you." Well, our God is not some pernicious little vindictive God. He's not just waiting for us to mess up and to get us back and to do things without purpose. Our God has a purpose in that which he brings to pass upon his people. And here we see that what happened to this man and him being born blind, it was for the glory of God. And God had a purpose to show this man grace and mercy and to give this man eternal life. God intended to be good to this man. So this man was born blind that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And the picture that we see right away from this is, like this man who was born blind, so are we in Adam spiritually. We're all born spiritually blind in Adam. And except the works of God be made manifest in us, we'll remain in blindness. We'll remain in darkness to the things of God. And we too will perish in our sins. And our Lord says now in verse 4 and 5, he says, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And we thank our God for his grace toward us, because today is the day of salvation. He's given us his gospel word to preach it, to declare it, to proclaim what God has done for sinners. To declare that we have no hope in ourselves by our works, by our law keeping, and by us trying to work a righteousness to justify or sanctify ourselves. God's made it clear that we're all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God by our works. But he's shown us his salvation. He's pointed us to the one in whom God will be gracious and compassionate and merciful. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's turning our hearts to look to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look away from yourselves. Look away from your works. Look away from the law. Look away from your actions and what you do or don't do, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent for the purpose of being gracious and compassionate and merciful, because that's the one in whom he receives his people. All who come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son shall be received of him, because it pleased God well to send his Son and to spare him not, but to give his life a ransom for his people. His life for yours, and that you may have life in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Savior says he must work the works of God. And he did. He accomplished the work of God. He came as the surety of his people. You that believe on the Lord, you that have no hope or confidence in your own works or your own righteousness, but are trusting in God's word, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's accomplished the work. He's paid the debt of your sins and put them away so that God looks upon you covered in the blood of Christ and he's well pleased. He's well pleased with you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ accomplished this work of redemption for us, and now he pours out his gift of salvation. He pours out the Spirit whereby he makes us to know what he's accomplished for us. He doesn't leave us in darkness. He doesn't leave us blind, but he gives us spiritual sight to see the salvation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus Christ. And so our Lord heals this man miraculously. Now, it doesn't necessarily describe exactly whether he had eyeballs or whether it just was sockets or, you know, with some skin over it. But the way they describe it later is, how did he open your eyes? As though these men had never seen the eyes of this man. They had never seen his eyes because they didn't even recognize him. And so when he came back, when he was healed, we read in verses 8 and 9 that the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" And some said, "Yeah, this is he." And others said, "Well, he is like him. He appears to be him." And then the man himself said, "I am he. It's me. Yep, you're right. I was sitting here and begging all these years, and now I have sight. I can see you, and you can see me." And what the Lord does in what we see in the Lord's work of grace here for his people, what we take from that is when the Lord works his grace in you, those who once knew you, those who previously knew you, now say, "Well, they appear to be them. It's them. It looks like them, but there's something different about them. There's something different." Because the Lord, when he works his grace, his people, the others will see that God has done something for you. There's something different about you, because your hope now is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trusting in him, and he teaches you and leads you and keeps you and guides you. So they'll see some evidence of the miracle of grace worked in you, that your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not trusting in the things which you once trusted in. And you bear testimony of those things, sometimes in great ways, and sometimes in little ways, but it's evident to others that there's something different about you. Right? Even when your friend comes to visit you, she doesn't come, but she knows and understands, well, Johnny's going. She's going to services. She doesn't maybe understand that you're going to hear the gospel to be fed and nourished in the body of Christ, by the body of Christ, by the grace of your God. And so Christ, we're told how he healed this man in verse 6 and 7. Look at 6 and 7 there. When he had thus spoken, this is Christ, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes, or where the eyes are supposed to be, the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And so what we see here, what stands out in this about this healing is, what did the Lord use to heal this man? Well, he spit on the ground. And he made a pasty clay, and then he wiped that on the eyes of the man. And then he sent him to a pool called Siloam, which means sent, and told him to wash in that pool, and the man washed in that water. Now, is there any medicinal qualities or any healing properties in the dirt or in spit or in water from a pool? No. These things in and of themselves are useless things in terms of healing, in terms of giving someone who's born blind sight, right? And rather, they're kind of repulsive to us, right? The last person that put spit on your face was your mother, and we didn't even like that. And so we don't want to be spit on or to have someone's saliva put on us. And when I get my hands dirty, I go in and I wash them. Right? Because it's kind of repulsive. And that's what the Lord does. He takes things that in and of themselves are useless, things that are repulsive, and he uses that to bless his people, to heal his people. And I'm talking about the gospel. Right? He takes something that's so offensive to the flesh, preaching, the preaching of the gospel, and yet when the Lord attends that word, he makes it effectual to the hearts of his people, so that they are blessed, and they are healed, and they are comforted, and they feed upon the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're nourished. Others hear it, and they get nothing out of it. But you, by the grace of God, are healed by his word, by the blood of Christ, making it effectual unto you. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All right, so next we come to this man being brought to the Pharisees. Right, he bore testimony to what the Lord had done, and it gained him an audience with these self-righteous Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were well-studied men. They knew the scriptures, and these were the teachers, the ones who taught the people of Israel, were supposed to teach them these things. And we read in verse 14 that it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees understood this. This was today? It's the Sabbath day. And they already despised this Jesus of Nazareth. And so here he is doing another miracle on the Sabbath day, a work in their eyes. And so they despised him and used it as an excuse not to believe him, not to give any attention or any space or place to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 16 that their response was, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Oh, is that so? The Lord of glory, who fulfilled all the law of God perfectly, he's not keeping the Sabbath day? Are you sure about that? And you guys are, right? They use this to justify their unbelief of Christ. And so we see in these religious men, as it is in all of man's religion, man knows a lot of things. He even knows a lot of the scriptures and has a good understanding of a lot of doctrine. But he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no knowledge of salvation, of spiritual life, and what the Lord must do for his people. Because they saw Christ and didn't see Christ. They saw this man and thought he's nothing more than Jesus of Nazareth, and they did not see the salvation of God, the Lamb of God standing right before them. And what our Lord reveals to his child is that Christ himself is the Sabbath rest for his people. And I know that's an offensive statement to a lot of people in religion, because they look to the law for their rest. They look to the legal law for their sanctification. And the Lord is telling us, you look to me. I'm your rest. I'm all your righteousness. I'm your justification, and I'm your sanctification, and I keep your heart. And you cease in me from all your labors, and all your striving, and all your working ends in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. He's the end of the law for righteousness. And so we look to our Savior, our Lord, who fulfilled all the law of God perfectly, and we in him. And we do keep the Sabbath perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep it perfectly. Not one offense do we commit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that new man, which is created of Christ in us, ever looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and cannot sin. Cannot sin. He cannot but believe. He cannot not believe. Because it's created of the incorruptible seed of Christ, and we're ever looking to Christ, trusting in him for all our salvation, for everything we need, and we live by his power. And so we're resting in him. And our Lord, he commanded his people, those whom he calls by grace, he commanded his people in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stop looking to the law for righteousness. Stop looking to the law for a man-made, manufactured rest by your law-keeping. You're still laboring. You're still working for a righteousness. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, if ye believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And our God is telling us he's all of salvation. He says, you come to me for rest. You don't look to the law for the Sabbath day, to the Sabbath day for your rest. You look to me, who am the Sabbath day rest of my people. We eternally rest in the Lord every day. That's why we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. And those who are still turning back to the law are stumbling over Christ, who is the rest of his people. Again, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:4, he said, such trust have we through Christ to Godward. We're so confident that God saves his people by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for his people in his death, burial, and resurrection, that we preach Christ crucified. Because he's everything the people of God need to stand before the throne of God faultless in that day. you are accepted even now by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to you, come unto me. You come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's his promise to you, brethren, his promise. So this man who knew nothing when all this started, he probably knew a little bit about religion, but he knew nothing of the truth when it all started, we find him able to declare what God had given to him by his experience up to that point. John 9, verse 11 and 12. He answered and said, so he's talking to the Pharisees who ask him what happened. Or actually, at this point, this is to the people first, and then he'll say the same thing again to the Pharisees. But 11 and 12, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. I don't know. I don't know where he went. But we see there this sincere, honest response. He's just declaring what the Lord had done for him. And later on to the Pharisees, they ask him, well, who do you say he is? Who is he? And he says, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. And what he was able to do, he must be a prophet. And in that simple little confession, just based on what he knew, with the light that he had, he already began to be persecuted. They persecuted this man. It says in verse 18, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. So they're already calling him a liar, and he can't be trusted. He's already a liar in their minds. And so they called his parents and asked him, is this your son? And they said, yep, he's my son, but we don't know how he was healed. You ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself, because they didn't want to be persecuted and thrown out of the temple themselves. And so having confirmed this, they tried to get this man to blaspheme Christ, to say he's not of God. All right, verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. All right, they were charging Christ with sin for breaking their understanding of the Sabbath. But notice this man's response in verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And that's true. You know, a lot of times we don't know doctrine, and we get, you know, we tighten up, and when someone's asking us a doctrine, and maybe we stumble or don't feel comfortable answering those questions. But what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, in healing you, in giving you a heart, a new heart that confesses, Lord, all I know is that I'm a filthy sinner who has no righteousness, no standing before you, but you're gracious and merciful to me and your son. And that's all you can say? That's a good confession. That's a good confession to be able to say, Christ is all my righteousness. I'm a sinner saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all I know. That's all I know. And that's an experience that no man can ever take from you, no matter what they charge you with. If Christ's given you that confession, they can't take that. Right? If all our hope is built on doctrine, which is good, we know doctrine, but if all your hope is built on what you know or don't know, that could be shaken, and you could be talked out of doctrine, but you can't be. You that have the seed of Christ in you, you can't be talked away from Christ, because they can't take that. All I know is that I was a dead, guilty, filthy sinner, but now I'm cleansed by the blood of Christ. He's all my hope. I can't deny that. I can't betray that. Right? And that's what the Lord gives his people, just as they gave this man. And he says a few more things, and we're told in verse 34, they cast him out. They had enough. This man spoke too much truth. In the simplicity of what he had, it was too much light for them, and they threw him out. And one other thing, you know, a lot of people do have experiences, and we have, you know, some pretty amazing experiences, but that's not our hope. You know, I've seen people healed through prayer. I've seen people healed, but that's not salvation. Just seeing mighty things and amazing things, that in and of itself isn't salvation. We've got to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man spoke according to the light he had, and Christ came and gave him more light. More light. To see that Christ is all and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Look at verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And so that's what Christ does for all his people. He does not leave them in the dark. And he doesn't leave them to experiences, because a lot of people have false experiences and trust in those things. That's not salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is salvation. And he brings all his people to know him as their Savior. Right? He's not just the Savior. He's their Savior. And they need him. And they need his grace. And he gives that to them. That's his gift, to make them to know, I have nothing, but Christ is all, and he's all my salvation, and he's accomplished it. And so that's what we see here being worked there. Now, carnal man, they use every excuse not to believe Christ, not to trust Christ or to look to him, and they will not come to him that they might be saved. That's what Christ said in John 5:40. You will, that's how man uses his will, you will not come to me that you might be saved. But the Lord, when he gives life, he turns that will. They have a new will. They have a new desire, a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cannot but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the sinner saved by grace is going to declare, Lord, I believe. Help me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Keep me, Lord. And our Lord is saying that, in whom he's begun a good work, he shall complete it unto the end. Right? Philippians 1:6. We're confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's working that in you, his people. Now, let me just read to you these last three verses, John 9:39 through 41. This is our Lord. He's capping off everything that we've seen in this chapter. This is the capstone of it. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. And so in these few verses, our Lord is making us to know that the very gospel which gives blind men sight is the same word that gives men who say they see and trust their works and their knowledge, it makes them blind. They can't see that light of Christ. They don't want to see that light of Christ. They stumble over Christ. They think he's foolish, and they turn to their own ways. But all men need Christ to pass them by for good, to come near to us, and to be gracious to us, that we may know him and be born of his Spirit. Because apart from the blood of Christ, we have no hope. There is no Savior. There is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name which is under heaven is given among every man which whereby he must be saved. If you're going to be saved, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other salvation out there at all. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man who's wise in his own conceits will not see that. He will not trust Christ. He will not bow to Christ. Not now. He will one day, but not now. He won't. And he'll die in his sins unless Christ delivers him. But Christ came for the spiritually sick. He is the great physician who heals all his people. He makes us to know him, to know our need of him, and to find in him all the healing salve that we need, all the healing ointment, all the healing oil of his Spirit is poured out upon us, washing us in the blood of Christ, that we may know him and rejoice in him. And so I pray the Lord bless you, his people, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to find rest for your souls in Christ, whom God has sent for his people. Amen.